Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for Reformation is a rather mysterious one, and it connects up with just about where the Gospel for the third Sunday in Advent leaves off. What is this business of, since the days of John the Baptist, everything was nice and orderly until then, and then with the days of John the Baptist, all hell seems to break loose. The powers of hell seem loosed upon the church, and everything goes helter and skelter. John the Baptist into prison. Yes, he's willing to decrease, but the Lord must increase. And now he even is willing to decrease by a head. And that also has been the fate of many faithful Christians after that. How did that happen? It did not happen by John addressing himself to Herod's self-need. Quite the contrary. And now that history is coming to a climax, now that he who is the angel, the very angel, the messenger to prepare the face to prepare the way before the face of the Lord, now the powers of evil cease to their utmost. It's always like that when the gospel is released with renewed vigor into the world. We see examples of that when the Lord says, look, John the Baptist comes not eating and drinking, you accuse him of being too rigorous. Then the Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and you accuse him of being a libertine and a drunkard. The same experience with Luther when he came upon the scene. As St. Paul also, when St. Paul preached the gospel of pure grace, he was accused of teaching that you can live any way you like. And he said, whose damnation is just? Shall we do evil that good may come? Not in your life. Luther recoiled in the early and mid-20s when he saw what some people were making of the Reformation. Look at the peasant revolt. Look at the self-seeking among the princes. Look at the religious division. All of Europe falling to pieces. And Luther, this is his real agony of temptation. Is that what this work is all about? Is that what the gospel is all about? That all these swinish spirits can arise and do as they like? The Pope used to compel people to go to the sacrament at least once a year. Now the pressure is off, we don't compel anybody. And there are many people who live like swine and dogs who don't care a scrap about what God says and offers in his holy church. Is that what the Reformation was for? There is a rather well done book, which I presume to bring into this sacred place, called The Reformation, quite elegantly done up, published in France just prior to the great change in Eastern Europe, and published in England just after it. And it's in many respects a remarkably interesting book. It goes into detail. It shows the ins and outs of the Reformation, and also quite intricate difficulties within the Lutheran and the Calvinist Reformation. And then it gives the German sociologist Weber's analysis. That if you compare a map of Europe with where the Reformation went, you impose a modern map of scientific cultural achievement. There's a tremendous correlation. It's in Reformation land that you have 80% of the Nobel Prizes, where you have vast advancement of civilization and education, where you have democratic institutions and social progress. Can that be an accident? But we are not here to celebrate democratic institutions and social progress and Nobel Prizes. All that is quite incidental. It may have been a byproduct, but also many evils have to be accounted for. What about the French Revolution? What about the bloodbath? What about Marxism and the inhuman persecution of Christians in our century, which also could be traced to the destruction of a unified, monolithic Christian Europe? You see, dear friends, history as we see it is largely a maze of smoke and mirrors. We cannot really guess. I mean, at the beginning of our century, who would guess that it would end this way? And of course, it hasn't ended yet. We cannot guess in advance what the good Lord, exactly how he'll bring things to pass. But the Lord is warning us that when the kingdom of God is in the world, it suffers all sorts of violence. But, he says, don't fear those who can destroy the body, but after that have nothing more they can do. The kingdom of God has a transcendent power which makes it elusive so that you can't pin it down like this in history. The real reason I brought this book is to the profound conclusion. It offers very little hope. But it does show that the Reformation, in the end, if you look at social and intellectual history, sort of dissolved itself. The very concluding paragraph. And now the diabolical exegesis murders Scripture, refusing to recognize the hand of God in the canonical text. Nothing is left. And the beginning of that concluding paragraph, we are in a cul de sac, a dead end, from which only the Holy Spirit can rescue us. Ah, so there is hope after all. No, we cannot by historical calculations, and that's what the Lord is teaching us, we cannot by calculations of our own resources somehow devise a winning strategy that will ensure perpetual victory for the gospel of Christ. Christ must win his own victory, and he does it often through our apparent defeat. He says to St. Paul, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You who wish to be and are going to be Christian priesthood, do not believe for a moment that you've got to calculate the path. You've got to provide the resources. You've got to be the clever man who will plot the winning strategy. No, no. It is the Lord, in the midst of all the apparent defeat, who leads his gospel, his stream of salvation, the holy evangel, the means of grace, leads that to fullness and to completion according to his will. And all we have received from him, grace for grace, as St. John says, out of his fullness have we all received. It has become fashionable to distinguish, especially since Paul Tillich, to distinguish between an alleged Catholic substance and a Protestant principle. And the idea that there's always this back and forth, there's this Catholic substance, and then the Protestant principle always hacking away and chopping down everything established, leaving nothing permanent in its path. Is that the Reformation? An eternal adolescent rebelliousness? That's a terrible caricature. No, the choice is not as we like to think, either between total chaos or institutional conformity. And there are always forces that squeeze us in that direction. Much Reformation observance often degenerates into nothing but a kind of redneck, ethnic, anti-Italian, anti-Irish, anti-papistry. That's not what the Reformation was all about. The Reformation celebrates the spiritual victory of Christ, our resurrected Lord, and of his gifts that flourish in all nations, where the Lord left himself witnessed by his gospel and sacrament. Look how easily papistical thinking seeps into our own churches. We do think that the modern chaos must be faced by institutional loyalty. But the Reformation does not teach us to be attached unconditionally to the University of Wittenberg. Look what happened there after Luther's death. Or to Saxony, look what went wrong there. Or to Missouri, or to any other institution. And yet we have that flesh that creates hope. I have another, not quite as impressive little book here, by Dr. Rudy Kogelberg. A plaintive book, Who Has Stolen My Church? Remember, dear friends, churches are not killed. Churches can only commit suicide. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is the custodian, and especially her public ministry, the custodian of the very source of the very spring of life itself. And here Dr. Kogelberg quotes, a man who had had this experience at a college prior to the union of the present ELCA. And this administration official told this inquiring, this pressing layman, he said, "I don't care what scriptures say or the confessions. The ALC theologians I have spoken to say that many of these issues are up in the air, and we will abide by what they say. We are an ALC college and will follow the lead from there. This is the position of the college." He needs papacy with such things going on in Lutheranism. This is, you see, this is the flesh seeking security, seeking safety from the chaos into the embrace of totalitarian organizationalism. You, dear friends and dear colleagues and future colleagues, you're not called to such a thing. Don't fear the crash and thunder and the smoke and mirror that go on wherever the gospel is proclaimed. Fear not of that. Leave it to the Lord. He will attend to it. Rather, preach the faith. It is the truth of Christ that the people of God most need today. Preach the truth. Be faithful in season, out of season. And that gospel, that sacrament of our blessed Lord, will never let you down or those who hear you. That he himself guarantees and underwrites by his resurrection. Amen.